Morning, Shelbyville Church, and all the visitors. We're glad to have everyone here this morning. I've been tracking numbers since, you guys remember Pastor Peterson? He still comes here once in a while. I was a deacon back then, and he was an Australian, and he said, Tom? I said, yeah, Pastor. He said, I want you to count people every week. I'd like to know how many people are coming, and I've been doing it for 25 years. And last weekend, we were gone to Chicago, and John said, if you'd have been here, we'd have broke 50. And the week before that, John and Tammy were gone, and I said, you know what, if you would have been here, we would have broke 50. And I told Sheila, I said, you're getting a better position right there, getting a head count. She said, there's 56 here today. So I thank the Lord for that. Pastor gave me a call this morning. He was carrying wood into his house last night, and he felt like he pinched a nerve or something. He's got real sharp pains in his neck and in his arms, so he wasn't sure if he would be here. And he said, do you have anything in your sermon with you? I said, just so happens. So if any of you have got memories like John and I, this is going to go smooth. You might remember a story or something, but I hope this goes well. There is no other friend like the friend we have in Jesus, is there? When God is your friend, nothing will ever be the same. Not your family, not your marriage, not your business, not your church, not anything. I'm telling you, if you never make another friend, you better make this one. I talked to a couple of friends of ours here from the church last week. And they're going through some problems. And it's a shame that when we're together like this, that we don't feel comfortable enough to share those problems with one another. And I think the women are better about it than the men are. Sometimes we just kind of keep things down deep inside until all of a sudden we blow up. And the women will share, which is a good thing. We probably should be more like them in that way. But we come to church, or we come to prayer meeting, or we go to a social. And when someone says, how you doing? We say, oh, we're doing fine. How you doing? Oh, we're doing fine. How's the kids? Oh, they're fine. You know, how's the dog? Oh, he's good. So we kind of hide things to some degree because things aren't really fine at all, are they? If you pay any attention to the news and politics, this world's coming to a head pretty soon. But we don't say anything until we're about ready to bust. Years ago, I worked with a guy whose wife worked up in Indianapolis and was having an affair on him. And he heard about it, knew about it, put up with it for some 2 or 3 months before they ended up getting divorced. But I didn't know anything about it, and I'd worked with him for years. And so he just kept it back and kept it to himself and let it fester. And I kind of wished he would have shared it with me. Because, you know, not that I'd been through the same thing at the same time or at time, but at least I could have shared something with him. But he just held it inside. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 12. And I want to read verses 20 and 21. John 12, 20 and 21. In John 12, beginning with verse 20, it says, now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus. And I believe this is the words of a desperate plea of a dying world. I think everybody out there wants to see Jesus. Behind every human heart, when the clutter and the garbage are moved aside, there is a desire to see Christ. We all have this empty space in our hearts that we try and fill with all sorts of things of this world, and nothing seems to work. Unbeknown to us is the prayer that we want to see Jesus. I think the world is hungry today to see Jesus. Every human being on this planet has been born with a God-shaped vacuum in his or her heart. The whole world wants to see Jesus. They just don't know how to say the prayer. You remember Jeffrey Dahmer? Everybody remembers that name, don't they? He had body parts of 11 different people in his refrigerator when they caught him. Yet before he was murdered in prison, they said that he found Jesus. The world wants to see Jesus, so what are we going to do about it? These Greeks came up, tapped Philip on the shoulder, and said, "We want to see Jesus." You know what Philip did? He did something that Adventists do very well. He calls a committee. You ever been in a committee? Probably if you've been in the church any length of time, you've served on a committee. If you haven't, then you haven't been around here very long, because we're known for our committees. Sometimes when we have a board meeting, a question comes up and it's decided to form a committee to discuss it and to bring it back to the board. Can you believe it? The world comes to one of Christ's disciples and they say, "We want to see Jesus," and he doesn't know what to do. When I went to work for GCOM over in Greensburg, GCOM makes car door locks for Toyota and Nissan and Mitsubishi and some Ford and some Chevrolet. But that's the whole business, making car door locks. But it amazed me when I hired in over there that we had any time to make car door locks because of all the meetings you had to attend. We have 12 conference rooms, not counting all the offices that you could have a meeting in. Every time they build on, they add another conference room. Sometimes it seems that way in the church. We have constituency meetings, which some of you just missed out on. We have board meetings, school board meetings, business meetings, social committee, building committees, nominating committees. A few years back, we had a committee to nominate the nominating committee. Friends, we're about committed out. The world out there is dying, and we're going to call a committee to discuss how we can save the world. And in that meeting, do you know what we do? This is the tragic part. We fight against one another. Have you ever been in a meeting where things didn't go well? Not a comfortable place to be. You just soon get up and walk out. And I've been in some of those meetings. We fight among ourselves. Can you believe it? While the world is out there on the battlefield begging for someone to show them Christ, we're in here fighting among ourselves. Now, I know I'm not talking about the Shelbyville Church or Brownsburg or any other church represented here. But there are churches out there that seem to find the smallest, unimportant things to argue over, to criticize, to backbite, and to stab one another with. And while we're killing ourselves off in here, the enemy is out there. We have made ourselves the enemy, and it's sad. And I think we better have a good explanation, too, because before long, the Lord's going to come back. And he's going to want to know what in the world we were doing. What were you doing down there, huh? What were you thinking? People pleading to see me, and you're trying to decide who to kick out of the church next. Church is splitting right down the middle over whether to put a steeple on top of the church. One church splitting 4 different directions, I heard. I don't understand that. If Christ is in our hearts, I don't understand how we behave like that. I think it's time to get serious about being Adventists. In fact, it's probably way past time. The day is far spent. We're running out of time, and probation is almost over. Well, I'm glad the story doesn't end there. If you still have your finger on John 12, look at verse 22. Philip came and told Andrew, Andrew and Philip told Jesus. Andrew and Philip go running up to Jesus. So what is our part? drop down to verse 32. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Man's only hope is the cross. Jesus said, lift me up. Ellen White wrote, the church's history on earth and the church redeemed in heaven all center around the cross of Calvary. This is the theme, this is the song. The problem is we don't know the value of the treasure we have. Now, I've told this story before in another sermon, and I don't know if you've ever heard it before, because actually I've heard it on TV twice. So it's about a story about Roy Webstein. You ever heard that name before? Roy Webstein was a rock hound. You know what that is? It's a guy that looks for rocks, pretty rocks, different stuff in them. I don't know how deep or how, I've never got into it, so I don't know. But Roy Webstein was actually visiting in another state. He goes to a flea market and he finds a bucket of rocks. That guy's got a bucket of rocks down there. He starts digging through them because he wants a pretty one. Well, he actually picks up this rock and he says, how much you want for this? And the guy said, $20. And he said, $20? He said, okay, $10. So he bought this rock for $10. It turned out to be a star sapphire. 1,095 carats. Worth millions. This morning I wondered, could it be that we've lost sight of our star sapphire? That somewhere in those dusty books and Bibles in our homes, there's a treasure worth everything. Jesus said, lift me up, and he will draw. I think we're not effectively communicating that message very well to the next generation. They're not buying in to whatever it is you and I bought into. I understand that some of our churches are getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and one day soon they'll just turn in the key to the local conference and say there is no more church. That happened right down the road here at Greenfield a couple years back. What are we waiting for? Are we waiting to get serious about the one who raised us up in the first place? Jesus said, lift me up and I will draw. He'll do the drawing. All we have to do is lift him up. I tell you, Jesus will never be lifted up out there until he's lifted up in here. So what are we going to do? What will we say to someone if they come walking up to us and say, sir, we want to see Jesus? Or madam, we want to see Jesus. What are you going to say? I tell you, unless we're spending time with him, unless we're spending time lifting him up in our own hearts, we will be like Philip. We'll have to find someone else to tell him. How to introduce him to Jesus. How long? How long will we wait, and what will it take to wake us up? Friends, we have to be ready. It's like those quick trips to the grocery store. I don't know if you guys did this, but we lived in a small town over in Arlington, Indiana. Had one grocery store and three gas stations and a post office. And every time your parents went to the grocery store, there was an opportunity for candy. So when they went, you wanted to go. And sure enough, they'd forget something, and they'd say, I got to run back down to the store. And we'd say, hang on, we want to go. And they'd say, well, get in, I'm going. And we'd say, we're not ready. And then they would say, well, then you're not going. That's the same way it's going to be when Christ returns. If you're not ready, you're not going. We got to get ready, and our job is to lift him up. When someone says to you, we want to see Jesus, what will you say?